chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. And then I'm going to share something else, and then we're going to get back over into our text. David, would you read for us?
And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the whiteness of his tongue. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception.
Sobering passage of scripture. He said this, that if we don't have a love of the truth, that God will send a strong delusion that we should believe a lie so that we would be condemned simply because we don't love the truth. We've got to love God's word, the truth. With that being said, you got to also throw in, I like Matthew 13 is the parable of the sower. And as the sower went forth, you know, he sowed the seed. And some fell on the wayside, some on stony ground, some among thorns, and other on the good soil. You got to remember there was nothing wrong with the seed. The seed's the word of God. The word of God's the seed. And what we sometimes forget, everything that makes an oak tree, the oak tree is contained in that little acorn. Everything that makes a watermelon that we just love to eat in the hot summertime is contained in that little watermelon seed. And so also is God's word is the seed in everything that would make us to be just like Jesus Christ is in that seed. The only thing that has to be thought about, I suppose, is the soil in which the seed falls. Nothing's wrong with the seed. We just got to make certain that the soil is okay. And when we look at the story of Moses and Aaron confronting Pharaoh, over here what we're studying in Exodus chapter 9, we see that the seed, God's word, was falling on by the wayside. And what did he say in the parable of the sower about the seed on the wayside? What happened to it? Yeah, it was trampled. And before it could even take root, because it can't take root, it'd be like trying to plant a garden on the driveway. It's hard that it can't get in the ground. And if it can't get in the ground, it can't grow. And what does it say? If you read, I think Luke's account says, and the evil one would come and snatch the seed and take it away before it could get through. We look at this, and whenever James asked me, could I pick up the fast night, I got to looking at it, and I said, let's go back and just recap this real quick as we worked it. Chapter 9. Over in chapter 4, because it's all about this heart thing. Over in chapter 4, verse 21, when you go back to Egypt, say that you do all the wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put into your hand, but I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go. Okay. Look over in chapter 7. Verse 3, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. Look at verse 13. And Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed as the Lord had said. Look at verse 23. And Pharaoh turned and went into his house, neither was his heart moved by this. This is the first day when the water was turned to blood. Chapter 8. The frogs. Look down in verse 15. When Pharaoh saw that there was relief, he hardened his heart and did not heed them as the Lord had said. Third day, the lice. Verse 19. This is the finger of God. But Pharaoh's heart grew hard and he did not heed them.
just as the Lord had said. Then we get to chapter 9. We're going to get into the, I'm sorry, let's go back to chapter 8, last verse of chapter 8. But Pharaoh hardened his heart, at this time also, neither would he let the people go. Over and over and over. God's word. I mean, Aaron and Moses are speaking God's word. They're so undeceived. It's falling on the wayside because of a hard heart. And so as we look at these plagues, and we think about them, and we think about God's mighty hand, you know, everything that we do, everything that we learn, we can apply it to our life, our daily life. So let's try to do that. And we have to remember when we look at what Pharaoh is doing and the hardness of the heart, and we think about the parable of the sower and the conditioning of our hearts, if we're not being productive, if we have been in the church for X number of years and we don't see a change in our life, then we better look at our heart headed. Seed's there. The seed is there. But it has to be cultivated. And we have to come back to our heart. Because when our heart is right, guess what? We're going to produce that fruit. Some 100, some 60, some 30-fold. So we have to remember that. And his heart was hardened. And so by the time we get to chapter 9, how many plagues have we had? We're fixing to hit the fifth plague, which is going to be on the livestock. By the way, something interesting is going to happen here, because it's going to be one of the times where, so far, things have just been thrown at them. What's all of them being? Weather, blood, good drink of water. What would happen to the blood? What was the second one? The frogs. Frogs. Now, that happened down here. We're just driving me. Wouldn't bother us a bit. Wouldn't have been a thank God. It'd been a jubilee. Yeah. So, but they had frogs everywhere, you know. The third one was the lice. Now, I remember when I was working in Sweet Lake when I lived for the first time with a phone company, and that worked there, and you got across that marsh. Just before dark, it looked like a cloud rising up, a dark cloud. And it was a cloud of mosquitoes moving in. You know, I mean, they threw socks down the bikes. I mean, they were awful. And so I can only imagine what it must have been like with these lice. I think other translations have other critters. And then the fourth one was the flies. That'd be annoying, wouldn't it? Don't you just hate life and go out and predict it? We can't imagine what this was like. And so none of these affected him, but then we're going to get down to the fifth one. And all these were just stuff that happened to him. But now look what's going to happen. We're going to have some things that's going to happen to some of the property. Then the Lord said to Moses, go into Pharaoh and tell him, thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. For if you refuse to let them go and still hold them, okay, here's some conditions, right? Let them go, but if you don't, this is what's going to happen. Behold, the hand of the Lord will be on your cattle in the field, on the horse, and the donkey, on the camel, on the ox, and on the sheep, a very severe pestilence. And the Lord will make a difference. Now, here's the first time. This is it. The Lord will make a difference between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt. So the dustman shall die of all that belongs to the children of Israel. Then the Lord appointed a set time, saying, tomorrow the Lord will do this thing in the land. Okay. So now that it's the first time we've had it's affecting just the Egyptians. Their livestock, their property. But thought it was interesting. What does that part of verse 1 say? Let my people go so that they may serve me, for if you refuse. You know what Hebrews 10:20
Every preacher has got Hebrews 10:25 memorized. Not for the sake of the assembling of ourselves together as none of some here. So much more to sit there broken. You won't come back to preach on. You did preachers on that one on when we used to have Sunday night services, you know, before we had the live group. We broke that one on Sunday morning, so we'd have somebody preach to you on Sunday night. Verse 26 said, "For if you sin willfully after you've received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin. But a fearful, someone fearful looking for that fire indignation, you're looking for it, and you're waiting. And what's blank? I can get it up, I know we're smart. Oh, my mind, that is my mind. Yeah. 10:20. How much more sore punishment shall you be supposed will be thought worthy of trampling on the foot the Son of God, counted the blood of the covenant by which it was sanctified, a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? Vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." Boy, do we believe that? Do we read all? That's why we're studying. That's why we're going through these plagues. That's why we're seeing how God deals with them. Because he's going to deal with us also. I mean, we don't believe the truth. If after we have received the truth, we just rebelliously sin, how can there be any more sacrifice? God said he trampled underfoot the Son, the blood, and not counting the blood of the covenant, the holy thing, but he's counting an unholy thing. I'm out. So he says, "Let him go, for if you refuse and still hold him, then I won't send a pestilence for all your livestock. And the Lord will make a difference between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt." I'm throwing out here at you. Now, y'all don't have to get too long-winded. Because you got to get through chapter 9. Oh, sir. Bell ring? Okay. I get too late. All right. Well, then we look at that and we say, God will make a difference. He made a difference between Israel and the Egyptians. What kind of difference does it make between us? If we view it as the Egyptians just do a stare and compare, what do they represent? The world out there? The unchurched? The ones who have not embraced Christ. And we are God's children, right? Romans 8:16, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And the children, then heirs of God and joint heirs of Christ. So we are his children. So we make a difference, don't we? Just like right here. He said, "God said, I'm going to make a difference because y'all are my people. Come on. I'm going to fit them, but I'm not going to bother you." We sing the song, "This Well With My Soul." The very last verse is, you know, "When the clouds are rolled back like a scroll, trumpet of the Lord shall sound, the clouds be rolled back like a scroll." Yeah. What's that going to be like? I mean, we read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses, I think it's 13 to about verse 18, talking about the second coming. And he said, "We're going to hear the trumpet, the Lord's voice, the archangel, and the dead is going to rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught together with him in the clouds, the Lord in the air." It's going to be a difference to you. Here he said, "I'm going to make a difference." Yes, sir, Mark.
Mm-hmm. And you're still making bricks on my specification.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So they were seeing all this, and some of it happened to them also. And now they're saying, okay, now we're seeing the difference. Like God said, I'm proving y'all can't do anything, but I'm really good to show you something. I'm going to draw a line. I'm going to fix y'all, but I'm going to let these people, these are my people, I'm going to take care of them. You're right. Absolutely. What else did he say here? Lord appointed a set time. Whoa. What does that mean? Is it relevant to us to think God got set time when he's going to come back? Make it one sometime. I know that, you know, the First Thessalonians passage where it talks about the second coming, it said, when Paul wrote that, he said, and we who are alive and remain to his coming. You think Paul had that expectation of seeing the second coming and being alive when it happened? You think he actually felt that that could possibly happen in his lifetime? So, no one knew. Yeah. I think one of the greatest little illustrations is that when Stephen was stoned in chapter 7 of Acts, it's the only time where we see the Lord. Where is he at right now? He's sitting on the right hand of God, right? But in Acts 7, when Stephen's being stoned, he said, I see the heaven open up, and there's the Lord standing. First Christian martyr that we know of. It's like, Father, look at him. They get him. Let's go. Let me go. Let me go get him. Not yet, son. Wait, wait. Not now. But it's the only time to see him standing like he's the Lord. He says, the Father only. No. But we can't understand all of that, but it's there. But God had appointed set time saying, tomorrow the Lord will do this thing in the land. So the Lord did this thing the next day. All the livestock died. Not just some of them, not just most of them. All of them died. But of the livestock children of Israel, not one died. Then Pharaoh said, indeed, not even one of the livestock of the Israelites is dead.
That's odd.
Yeah.
The Israelites have a lot of livestock. You're talking millions of people.
Right.
And all their livestock. And not a single one died on that day.
That's right.
You know, that's everybody else's livestock died, but then all of the livestock of the Israelites makes it through that day. Not a single one died.
That's amazing. That's
wild.
Like you said. They said that it was estimated, and I don't know how they come across this. That's about when these math whiz geniuses said that somewhere between a million and a half, 3 million people came across the Dead Sea. And I don't know how they were doing the count. But, you know, when you read the Jesus speaking of the multitude, the 5,000 and the 7,000, they was counting the men only. So I don't know. Anyway, so let's just say a million people. That's a lot of stuff. That's a lot of stuff. And he's in Pharaoh then to go check it out. And now you know, there's a big difference in believing in God and believing God. We can believe in God, but not necessarily believe God. I believe in God, but I don't think he's going to take me from him to disobey. Well, that's not believing what he said. Oh.
Up to this point, everything was temporary.
Right.
The water only lasted so long, the frogs only lasted so long. Until now,
confirmed. That's a good point. I didn't think about that, but yeah, they were dead. Yeah, they weren't going to come back. They were just dead. So, yeah, and that would have been quite a blow economically. And also, it appears, and well, we're making some conjectures here, but it appears that God is setting them up so that they will obey that last, that command of putting the blood on the lamb and the door. Yes, sir.
You know, another thing I think about through all this, you know, you keep reading how God hardened Pharaoh's heart,
mm-hmm.
and Pharaoh hardened his heart. You know, that's one person out of millions and millions of Egyptians whose heart was hardened.
Right.
And you got to think about all the Egyptians who owned livestock, who were responsible for the welfare of their families and all that, who have Egyptian slaves in their home, or Hebrew slaves in their homes and all this. And their hearts were not necessarily hardened.
Right.
You know, their hearts, maybe in many cases, were pricked.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they suffer for the hardness of heart of their leader.
Absolutely. And we can suffer because of our leader, can't we? Didn't work for a bad phone. My 35 years phone company, I only had one. And I had a bunch of problems because I saw God's life, but yeah, I had one. It was bad. But, so, yeah, and everybody suffered because of him. So, yes, a lot of those who would have had their hearts pricked would have. And some of us will see a little bit later when the hell comes that they did. Some of those did believe some of his, some of the Egyptians. Yeah.
And when the Hebrews left, the Egyptians gave them stuff to go.
Oh, absolutely. Matter of fact, I promised them that when all this took place. You know, you go back to chapter 4 and 5, he talks about how that the women, the Egyptians are going to give to the women, you know, gold and pearls and you know, the arraignment. So, yes. I thought that was interesting, too, the way God, we just can't fathom how God works all the time. But the heart of the Pharaoh became hard, and he did not let the people go. Sixth plague, boils. Now we come to Misery. So the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take yourselves handfuls of ashes from a furnace, and let Moses scatter it toward the heavens in the sight of Pharaoh, and it will become fine dust in all the land of Egypt, and it will cause boils to break out and sores on man and beast throughout all the land of Egypt. Then they took ashes from the furnace and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses scattered them toward heaven. And they caused boils to break out in sores on man and beast. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils. For the boils were on the magicians and on all the Egyptians. But the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he did not let eat them, just as the Lord had spoken to Moses. Now, who else had all these boils? Y'all remember? Job, yeah, remember the story of Job? Boils from the top of his bottom of his feet to the top of his head. He said that he passed and he scraped himself with a broken pot. Yeah. He looked so horrible that his three best friends didn't even recognize him. Now that's bad. Yeah.
You know, another thing that just kind of struck me from that is, where did he get the ashes from?
He just said eight furnaces.
Eight furnaces.
Yeah.
Not a fireplace, not a hearth, not a cooking fire. What furnace do you imagine he got those ashes from? You got to think it might have been a brick drying furnace.
It could have been. Very well could have been. Yeah.
You know, that might very well have been from a could furnace.
We don't really know it. We don't give us that insight, but yeah, that's a good get out there.
That's a furnace.
Yes, ma'am. Yes. Did they go get some of the cattle from the Israelites because they were slaves? Correct. We don't know anything. We would be just conjectures or our own thoughts. But that was a good point. All right. How long from the time that he threw the dust up in there did they just bam appear on them? Or was it a day or two? We don't know. They don't tell us. Don't give us time for it. And so anything, I guess anything we'd say. Be a meeting, you know. Then you might know that might be out there. Both of us later. But anyway, hard to talk. Then we come to the Sabbath plague. This gets real bad. This is where we not only have the life of property, the cattle and all, but also the crops. And in some cases that we'll see, some people. First time human life, God's taking human life by one of the plagues. Won't be the last time, but it's the first time. Seventh plague. The Lord said to Moses, rise up early in the morning, stand before Pharaoh, and say to him, thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For this time, I will send all my plagues to your very heart and on your servants and on your people that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth. What did that Egyptians have that also Moses there and the Israelites had? Hebrews. See, what? But that Egyptians had many gods, right? Yeah. He said, "Look at me. I'm going to show you that there is none like me. I'm number one. There are no others." How did Paul put it on Mark Hill? Where he said, when he said, he was going through the streets there in Athens, and he said, "I perceive that y'all are very superstitious, for y'all have all of these idols, all of these monuments to all of these gods. You even have one to the unknown God, just in case you would forget one that you didn't want to meet." He said, "That's the one I'm going to confess to you. That's the one I'm going to tell you about. For it's in him that we be able to know and have our being, the true God." Now, if I stretch out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, then you would have been cut off from the earth. But indeed, for this purpose, I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. Do a purpose way. God said, you're going to say who I am, but it's going to be proclaimed in the whole world, throughout all the earth. As yet you have dogged yourself against my people, in that you will not let them go. Behold, tomorrow, about this time, I will cause very heavy hail to rain down, such as not been in Egypt since its founding until now. I read some of that about when was Egypt founded? You know, when did it go all the way back? Some of the historians go back to about 5,000 or 5,700 BC. Some of the more conservative come up to about 3,000 BC. The time, Josephus says that the time frame that this was all written and should have happened would have been somewhere between 2400 and 2500 BC. Food for thought. Behold, more about the Obed and found it now. Therefore, send now and gather your livestock and all that you have in the field, for the hail shall come down on every man, every animal, which is found in the field and is not brought home, and they shall die. He who feared the word of the Lord among the servants of the Pharaoh made his servants and his livestock flee to the houses. What does my grand Solomon say in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, right? The fool despises wisdom. So here's somebody. Some of these people open their eyes. They say, hey, he is number one. So some of these servants, some of them, of Pharaoh, made his servants and his livestock flee to the house. But he who did not regard the word of the Lord, the fools, left his servants and his livestock to feed them. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, on man, on beast, on every herb of the field, throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched out his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail and fire, darted to the ground. And the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. So there was hail, and fire mingled with the hail, so very heavy that there was none like it in all the land of Egypt, since it became a nation. Prevail. My brother-in-law and I, Terry, married my older sister, he and I went to Wyoming and picked out a thing with 5 miles out. And I'm the most unobserved person that you will ever know. I don't ever see anybody. And we've been up there for a month, I guess. And we had a restaurant eating one Sunday afternoon at the church. And we'd go to the restaurant to eat and come back out. And all of a sudden, I say, there wasn't a vehicle in the parking lot that wasn't beat all to pieces from these hailstones. My heart went to my throat. I said, my truck. Well, that was years, that was days gone by, or months, or whatever, because my truck was okay. It didn't have to crash on it. Because the hailstorm hadn't happened. I just never had seen it. And so I asked somebody, I said, when did this happen? They said, oh, it's not. Are you going to have a hailstorm? It's when are you going to have a hailstorm? I had $1,000 deductible on my comp on my truck. I went and called State Farm. I said, change me. Give me $250. This is bad up here. So I can only imagine what it must have been like to have seen this happen. This hailstorm that destroyed everything. So much so that it killed the livestock and the people that were still out there. I mean, were they all false eyes? I don't know. They had fire. There was fire mingled in it. If you read Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 4, Ezekiel said that I seen a whirlwind coming, and there was fire in it. Sort of like perhaps when Elijah was called up into heaven in the chariot of fire, perhaps. I don't know. For Israelite, what it was like. But here he says, man, the fire was in the hail. And the hail struck throughout the whole land of Egypt. All that was in the field, both man and beast, and the hail struck every herb of the field and broke every tree of the field. Only, here it is again, only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, there was no hail. God takes care of it.
If we believe. If we trust.
What was in the song for us to know about?
Was there no other way?
Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said to them, I have sinned this time. Ah. Is the tiller getting on that old wayside? Is it breaking up? You know, you till it hard and long enough, you can't break through. I have sinned. The Lord is righteous, and my people and I are wicked. Entreat the Lord that there be no more mighty thunder in hell, for it is enough. I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer. You ever wonder if God says, okay, enough's enough? You ever think that we can be so disobedient, so rebellious, so unfaithful? caring, unloving, that, and we refuse to heed to God, what do you think about God just throws us a bed? That's nothing. Go back and read about Ahab, the king. You know, in the northern kingdom, I don't think it was. I get mixed up, north and south kingdom. I believe in the northern kingdom, there was not a single king that was said that he was good, and only about a third of the ones in the southern kingdom that was considered as good kings when the kingdom divided after Solomon. Ahab was the most wicked king that we have record of. He married Jezebel, remember? The daughter of Ethbaal. And she brought Baal worship in to the children of Israel. If you read the story of Ahab, you remember he was after a vineyard, wasn't he? Naboth? He wanted his vineyard, and Naboth wouldn't sell it to him. He said, my father's an heiress. I can't sell it. Of course, he went home out. His wife took charge. He may not have been henpecked, but probably had a lot of henhouse ways. His wife took over. She said, so she had him healed and said, okay, Naboth is dead, go take the vineyard. And when he did, the prophet came to Ahab and he said, okay. God said, enough is enough. I'm cutting you off. He said, where the dogs licked up the blood of Naboth, they said, also lick up your blood. And the dogs will eat Jezebel. Well, that's pretty strong. It was 7 years later, but it happened. You remember? Ahab was in the chariot. He was in a battle. Archer got him and hit him. He told his driver, he said, get me out of here. Wounded, and he died. And when they got him married, they washed his chariot. The dogs came and licked up his blood. A couple years later, they rode through the David Army rode through, not David Army, but the Army rode through the town and seen Jezebel. And they said, who's on the north side? And they said, we. And they said, throw her over. They threw her off the wall. Killed her. They just went off the mountain. Get that guy. Now, what's that? Y'all remember his name? The one who had who was over the army. Anyway, later on he said, y'all won't bury her because she wasn't king's daughter. They went out there and the only thing that was left, you remember? Palms of her hand and the soles of her feet. The dog could eat.
That's also where Mary started through the
book. That's correct. Absolutely. Absolutely. Mary. Yeah. When God tells you something, he does. You know it's amazing. Where the man says, go ahead and say, rain. Well, Martha cried. I bet you most of us, if we remember it, all of us, we'll grab a number of us and go into the store. It may or may not run. We didn't know. Well, the man said it did, but weatherman's on first on earth, and that'd be 10% right, whole job. I mean, you know. But we believe it. He said, when we cold, we grab a jacket. This ought to be 90 degrees. You know? Isn't it amazing? God has never been wrong, ever, in every question. Look, you have your hand up. Yes, sir?
Thank you.
It's something that, but yet we close our eyes. Yes, sir. Mark and Daniel. Father, Son.
I remember this hailstorm that we just had. I remember waking up in the middle of the night and hearing that hail come through, hearing that hail beating on my roof of my house. And I can't imagine what it would have been like to hear this hailstorm. I don't know what their houses were like back then, but I bet, probably not as advanced as what I'm living in, in most cases.
You can take the word out of the mouth, yeah.
Yeah, I was working on the firehouse in West Colorado, and that night, right
windows out, everything, everything.
The only thing they had, they would put their coats and stuff up against the windshield to keep the windshield from getting to. But that night, because out by the powerhouse where we were working, there was a whole herd of deer out there. They found all the dead the next day. Mm-hmm.
That's something. And yet, they go hard and talk. I'll leave you with this thought. Over in Mark, Book of Mark, Gospel of Mark. Oh, that Jesus, I'm in chapter 6, about the middle of the chapter. Jesus feeds 5,000. After he feeds the 5,000, remember he sent the disciples on the way, they're in the boat, they're going out, and then the storm comes up, and he went to the boat, the wind ceased, about 51, I'm in verse 51. And they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled. Now, he fed the 5,000. They just got to be feeding 5,000. They marveled, for they had not understood about the loaves because their heart was hardened. Now then, we're still talking about the disciples. If you go over to chapter 8 of Mark, he feeds the 4,000. Now, this is later. I'm in chapter 6. I'm over in chapter 8. He feeds the 4,000. And then they leave. And then in verse 13, he left them, getting into the boat again, the boat against the side. The disciples had begun to take bread, but they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. He charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of the Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it's because we have no bread. Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, why do you reason because you have no bread? I fed the 5,000, I fed the 4,000. Do you not yet perceive or understand? Is your heart still hardened? Do we read it and are our hearts ever still hardened? Man, we've got to go and make that soul. Get that seed on good soul. Thank y'all for you. Yes, ma'am. Yeah.